to say to us through His Word. Last month was Rise Up.
Now, Rise Up was a whole lot about it's time that we quit laying down like a bunch of cowards and punks and letting our lunch get ate and letting Satan have his way in this nation and let Christianity decline at an ever-increasing rate. So, well, John, we don't have control of that. Yes, you do have control of that. Because the Bible is quite clear in Romans 10, 14. And how can they hear without a preacher? You're like, well not me. No, yes, you. Not the person next to you. Not Joe Schmo on TBN. No, it's your job. And hopefully you won't take people's money. That'd be good.
On TBN. Oh, it's bad.
But listen, we talked about it's time to rise up. You're like, man, I am 12 years old. I might be 11 years old. How in the world can me, an 11-year-old, go preach the gospel? I don't even know what you're talking about. I am so, what? Rise up. Yes, you. Rise up. It's time, and I had the flags, and I lifted them aside. We raised the standard for the Lord in this nation and quit laying down and backing down. So tonight, it's going to kind of piggyback off that. This is weird. I'm just going to tell you, it was like 4 o'clock. I had my message done. Everything's going great. I'm preaching the same. I felt God leading me to preach the same message as before initially. I sit in my office and I start retyping it and it just wasn't working. And I was like, God, you led me into this whole deal and, you know, He is with you. And I was like, all I got is He is with you. And if you said to do this, and God's like, no. You change it all up. I'm like, Lord, don't you know that it's like 4 o'clock and I'm talking to God, right? Of course He knows what time it is. Don't you know that I'm not going to have enough time to finish? That's how we do it with God. Sometimes we just tend to question Him. So I've got something a little bit different tonight. He is with you is what we're going to talk about. I'm going to talk about a particular part of Scripture that I absolutely love. I've preached on this 2 times before. One time several years ago at a thing called Alpha Conference. One time in February here in Alive Youth on the 11th of February, particularly of 2011, was a good time. Both times I got to minister on the Scripture, and I have different message each time. And tonight we're going to focus on He is with you. And how in the world does that have anything to do? Right now we're in a nation where for the first time in recorded history, when 9/11 happened 10 years ago tomorrow to the day, the nation asked this question: where is God? People began by the masses. They came to churches. You know, the church attendance in the United States of America for the following 2 to 3 months ballooned. It was huge. And in 3 months, people that came to the church for the first time in years because they were looking for answers didn't find them. So they went back to living life like they were before. I'm not going to talk about 9/11 tonight. I just want it to be in our minds that, historically speaking, the first time, not in World War II, not when Pearl Harbor happened, not when atomic bombs were getting dropped. No one ever said, where's God? They never questioned it. They knew where He was at. They knew that He was with them. But we ask this question now in our generation, where is God? I meet a high schooler that talks about them, they might have suffered a friend who's passed away. And they'll ask me this question, where was God when she died? Where was He at when I was upset? What was He doing? And I have to look her in the face and say, He's right with you. And you were so focused in on what was in front of you, you never looked right behind you to see He was right there. People don't want to accept that. It's like, well, it's something we got to know tonight.
No matter where you are tonight,
I don't know if you walked in here feeling bad. I'm feeling bad right now. I'm just going to tell you. I said it for the second time now. Who gives a rip? You might be feeling bad. I don't know what happened last night. I don't know what happened a week from today. I don't know what happened 6 months ago that makes you feel right now tonight. But here's the thing. If you were one of those people that I just talked about and you're saying, where's God in my life? Where is He at in this conglomeration of things? Where is He at in the middle of all this? Tonight I want to talk a little bit about that. I want to let you know something. First off, He sees you. Had a preacher preach about this last Sunday. I loved it. He sees you. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows your exact location. And more importantly, He is with you. He doesn't just see where you're at right now. You're like, I don't see it. Just because you don't see something
does not mean it's not there.
Right now, can I see what's behind me? No.
If I had a camera, you know, like that, or a screen showing me, I'd probably see what's behind me.
I have no clue if there is a midget polka dancing on the stage. I don't know. Do what? Two midgets polka dancing, because it takes two to polka. Also takes two to tango, but it takes one to break dance. So, I don't know if there's midgets polka dancing together, frolicking on the stage. I haven't. Okay, they're not. Good. Because that would be a horrible distraction, and then y'all would pay attention while I'm preaching, and I would turn around, and it would end right there. But just because I can't see what's behind me doesn't mean there's not something there. I can't see those drums when I'm looking at you in the face. Does that mean those drums are not there? Billy Graham once said, just because you cannot see the wind, can you not feel it blow upon your skin? You can feel its presence. And tonight we're going to focus in on the fact that he's with you. And you've got an identity. I don't want you to be robbed and think that God's not with you and you're a nobody. Tonight we're going to learn about a man named Gideon who was in a hole. A literal hole. A place where if you were to look across the horizon, you would see nothing. You wouldn't even see the hole because it was enveloped in a rock. And it wasn't going to be visible. And in the middle of all that, in a place where no human being could see him, and he was hiding out, trying to hide from the enemy, that God came and said, hey, I'm with you, Gideon. Blew his mind.
Judges chapter 6, verses 11 through 17. Says this. I done gone and flipped the pages on myself. Here we go. Judges chapter 6 verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat underneath the terebinth tree. That's a big word. Which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide from the Midianites. I want everybody to say hide. Say it again. Hide. He's hiding in a hole. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, the Lord is with you, mighty man of valor, or mighty warrior. Gideon said to him, oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles which our fathers told us about? Saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Then the Lord returned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? So he said to him, oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man.
So you've got a story of a guy who's in a wine press. Let me tell you what a wine press was. Back in the day, they didn't have these nice metal vats in which they could press the grapes and create the wine. They had to dig big holes. Cylinder holes, round holes in the ground, would go down probably 10, 12, 15 feet, some deeper than others, so they could press out all the grapes and they could create wine. Now these would have to be hewn out of straight rock so that it would stay there and dirt would kind of just absorb the liquid and it would hold the liquid in there. So he's in this hole and it says he's threshing wheat. What was threshing wheat? Well, when you get a wheat kernel, who in here knows anything about farming? Anyone? Where is it? What do we eat off the whole thing for the wheat? The little seed. So you got a wheat stalk, maybe this tall, and you eat the little seed at the top. So what happens is when you get that wheat, you get a bunch of other stuff in there with those kernels. And what happens is the seeds are heavier than the pieces of the other foliage, like the leaves and stuff of that nature. So what they would do is they would get in there and they would beat this stuff up and throw it up in the air, and the wind would suck away all the dead, dry stuff, not the seeds, and the good stuff would fall to the ground. Now see, people would do this in plain sight because above ground, there's more wind. That doesn't take rocket science. Man, I'm going to thresh me some wheat in the cave. It's the best thing. Like, there's no wind there. Kind of doesn't work. We try. No. But so he's in this hole. Why would he be in the hole? Well, the Midianites, what they did is the Midianites were an opponent to Israel. So they came into the land and they took everything. They took the donkeys, they took the food. And so the enemy of the people of God, what did he do? He came in, he took their sustenance, he took their hope, he took their promise. Wow, sounds like today, doesn't it, when Satan comes and attacks us. And so Gideon, in response to this, knows that if they see him threshing wheat in public, it's going to cost him. If not his food, it's going to cost him his life. So he hides in a wine press. Well, that's real courageous, isn't it? Our version say, well, why doesn't he just be like Braveheart and roll up in that place and own them? No. It's a little bit different. And he's in this hole and he's afraid and he's hiding. And you would think that in the middle of all this, God would want the Braveheart kind of guy, right? If he was going to use someone to take back his land, he's going to use Mr. Macho, right? He's going to use the guy that looks like he's got it all together. He's going to use Super Christian. Man, he's got the WWJD power loading 90%, 100. He's got it going. He would use Super Christian, right? He would use the guy that knew Jesus, and it was everybody clear to see. If he's going to use someone to attack the enemy of his people, he's going to use someone who's not hiding in a hole, right? That just makes sense. If you're playing dodgeball, and there's a guy that's 6'5", looks like if you threw a rock at him, the rock might break. And you've got a guy next to him who's like 5'8", just skinny. Who are you going to pick to play dodgeball? Anyone? The really big dude. The skinny guy. Because he can throw it fast. Chris, like, I'm skinny.
You're missing.
Exactly.
He might be quicker. But if the big guy hits you, but usually big guys that are that cut are kind of fast too. You're going to pick the nice looking guy, right? You're not going to pick Mr. Gideon who's sitting up in a hole hiding, are you? It's not going to work like that.
But I want to tell you something right now. It says about Gideon. Gideon says, my family is the weakest in the whole place. I'm the weakest in the whole family. And my tribe, my place, is the weakest of all the country.
And you're going to come to the weakest place in the country, to the weakest family, to the weakest kid, and you're going to pick me to go save everybody. How's it going to work out? God says, surely I'm with you. You, Gideon, will defeat them as one man. And this is where it comes to. Tonight, you're sitting in this place.
I don't know where your relationship is with God. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know if you have a relationship with God. Maybe you're out on the front lines for Christ.
But maybe you don't have one. Maybe you're sitting in a hole right now and you're afraid to step out and to stand out for the Lord.
I don't know where you're at. I don't know what your situation looks like.
I don't know if you're living in a hole of defeat or you're living in a hole of despair or you're living in a hole of doubt. I don't know where you're at. I don't know if you feel like God is 1,000 miles away from you and does not give a rip about you right now. I don't know what your situation looks like. I'm here to tell you that no matter your situation, here's what I got to say to you. He is with you.
Yeah.
Now you see, why would I read this story to you? I prolonged this kind of funny. It's a little bit interesting. I mean, he kind of mocks Gideon.
Gideon's sitting there, and he's going like, oh my,
Gideon, so God comes to him, and he says, what did I just say to you? Hey, I'm with you. What does your mind say? No, God is not. Where would he be at? Didn't God save people in the past? I heard about some lady who prayed, and her son didn't die. Why did mine?
I heard about someone who prayed, and their brother got better, and mine didn't.
I heard about someone who prayed for financial miracles and it happened to them, but it didn't happen for me. So where are you at, God? So God looks at him and says, so in this great mind of yours, because you're so bad, you're going to go by yourself and you're going to defeat them all. I bet he's feeling good about himself, right? He's like, I'm in a hole. I don't know what's going on. Don't you see, God, where I'm at? I can't win. Where were you at when they came to kill my brothers? Where were you at when I ran out of food? Where were you at when I was afraid for my life to climb in this hole in the first place? And he says, I'm with you.
This word right here, I am, is a constant state of being. The word I am was used to describe in Jesus Christ that he was from the beginning. So if God was not with him until that point, he'd say, I'm with you now. But God looks at him and says, I'm with you.
What does that indicate? The fact that he never was gone. What does that indicate? The fact that God was there when they came into the country. That God was there when things started getting bad. That God was there when they ran out of food. That God was there when he climbed in the hole. That God was there when he had no hope. That God was there when the angel came. That God was there when he stepped out of that hole and stepped onto the battlefield. Let me tell you the end of this story. What happened? Gideon started small. From this moment in time in the story, after he doubts God there, he says, God, if I'm going to believe in him, he's still doubting God. If an angel of God came to you right now, and you're not in a physical hole, I don't know if your hole's depression, I don't know if your hole's doubt, I don't know if your hole's question, I don't know if your hole is worry, I don't know if your hole is you just don't feel God right now, I don't know what your hole looks like. But if an angel, when you creature from heaven, comes in and says, God is with you, I wouldn't question that. Would you? And Gideon looks at him and says, if you're really with me, I'm going to take a piece of cloth, some fleece, I'm going to lay it outside, and I want you to make it wet one night, and the ground around it to be dry. Completely dry. And God says, okay. And he goes out in the morning after seeing the angel, and the cloth is wet and the ground is dry. He says, well, I really got to get this figured out. So, make the ground wet and the cloth dry. Goes to bed. Gets up, and the ground is wet and the cloth is dry. And finally, Mr. Gideon gets the cookie. He says, okay, apparently you're with me, God. So in the country, you see these people, they were dedicated to worship only one God. His name was Yahweh. We talked about him at Alive Night theme. Rise up. Yahweh. And they were to only worship him. And if you were to worship any other thing, whether it was money, whether it was another statue, it was wrong and God did not approve of it. There was no Allah. There was no Buddha. It wasn't have it your way kind of faith. No, he says it's either me or nothing. But the people didn't listen to him. And the story, it says what happened to the miracles. These people, the Israelites, saw oceans open before them. Could you imagine if God said, I'm going to lead you to my promised land, you get up to the Red Sea, which is many, many miles across, and all of a sudden, boom, the place splits apart. God takes you across. You get hungry. Food starts falling from the sky. You want some meat. Birds start just coming in, and God gives it to you. People get healed of snake bites. God makes water come from rock. And you question God?
Yep.
Really? And you know what they did? They started worshiping other gods. And they started lifting up Asherah poles and altars to Baal. And so this guy named Gideon, this is many years after that trip happened, and idolatry is everywhere.
Wow, looks like in this nation, doesn't it? Our idols look a little bit different today. Back in the day, you see Baal, Asherah, Dagon. Today, money,
popularity,
being cool, me. I think some people's biggest idols in this nation would have myself,
yep,
your name wrote on it.
Yep.
Because you've exalted yourself to the place of God. And you know what Gideon does?
So after all this time of God screaming out, Gideon, I'm with you, would you just see me? He goes in the middle of the night. Now, if you want to sneak around and do something, what do you do?
What time do you go?
Night time.
So he goes while all these people are sleeping. And back then they didn't have 360 in Mountain Dew. So kids weren't hopped up till 4 o'clock in the morning. Killing spree. You know, rampage. You know, Halo. It wasn't like that. It wasn't quite like that. People went to bed when the sun went down. You would, man, John, I just feel like, what time did you go to bed? Like 4? What time did you go to bed? Like 6?
Go to bed. Okay? They went to bed on time. So no one is awake. So Gideon wakes to the middle of the night when everyone's asleep. And you know what he goes? He goes, he cuts down their worship idol. He burns it. And everyone wakes up in the morning and they're angry.
Yep.
Where did my idol go? Boy, I bet you if God showed up in your life and took some of your idols, you'd be angry right now. I want that. They're angry. They track it down to him. And it ends up in the story, and they come after him, and they come to his father's house. Let me be sure I can get this a little bit.
his father. So they said to one another, who has done this thing? And when they had inquired, asked, they said, Gideon the son of Joash has done this thing. So they found out who did it. They're angry. Then the men of the city said to Joash, bring out your son that he might die, because he's torn down the altar of Baal, and because he's cut down the wooden image that was beside it. So when he tore down the idols, he ripped them all down. Emphasis on all. But Joash said to the men who stood against him, would you plead for Baal? Would you save him? Let the one who would plead for him to be put to death by morning. If he is a god, let him plead for himself, because his altar's been torn down. Therefore, they called him Jerubbabel. Let Baal plead against him because he's tore down the altar. Guess what? They come to kill him. His daddy said, if Baal is so great, why don't he come down to my front door and complain? Let's see where your god's at. It didn't come. So you've got a man who's hidden, who is in a situation that society would say bleak. He's got a hole, and tonight many of you are sitting in holes right now. I just named a couple. Your hole could be a bondage of relationships with the opposite sex. It could be anything. And that's why when he started singing Break the Chain, I was like, Holy Ghost, good Lord. How in the world? What was that exact line, Grant?
What?
The chains.
By there is power in them and Jesus to break every chain.
To break every chain. To break every chain. And tonight, he's sitting in that hole, and you're sitting probably in a hole right now. And you're in a situation that doesn't look good. And God comes to you and he says, hey, I'm with you. And that's the message tonight. He is with you, person. You need to understand that God's with you. You might not see him because you're in a hole, but he's working for your good on the outside. You might say, John, I don't see anything right now. God is not real. Well, it doesn't matter what you think. The fact is, he's right beside you. And I guarantee if you were in worship here tonight, you felt something in your heart. People say, well, I'm an atheist. Yada, yada, yada. You come in a time of worship and you tell me you don't feel something. I was an atheist. I said the same thing. I came to a church service and all of a sudden I had a feeling in my heart I couldn't explain. And I had been in a hole, guys, for 4 years. 4 years I was in a hole. I had no faith in anything. I said, God isn't real. He doesn't care about me. He doesn't see me in this hole. He isn't interested in what I'm doing. There's no promise. There's no purpose. I'm in my hole. I'm getting used to my hole. I'm happy. Some of y'all are happy with being in holes tonight. You need to get dissatisfied with any location and being right with Jesus. And I got used to it. And all of a sudden, the voice of God says, hey, John, I'm real. I'm with you. Interesting fact. Now, this is where all that swirling thing comes in right now. Tonight, you might be in a hole. But what happened with God? He's saying he is with you. In this scripture, like, well, that's for them. No, it's not for there. The Bible's speaking to this moment. And eternity is calling out and saying, I'm with you. You don't believe it. Just says it there. Jesus says it at the Great Commission. Matthew 28:20. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. No matter what you do, until time ends and eternity, we slip into eternity, he's with you. And guess what? Then you see him face to face. Forever he's with you. You might not feel him. You might not see him. But person, I'm telling you tonight, if you would just turn around, look, Jesus is right there outside your hole. For Gideon to ever see the fleece laid upon the ground had to climb out of the hole. What does that represent? Tonight you might be in a hole. Seeing Jesus is as simple as stepping out into the light. What is this talking about? In here tonight, we've got some hidden heroes. Some of y'all in here are Satan worshiping. I believe in this room right now there's apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. I believe there's so many gifts in this room right now in these two sections of seats that the world would be forever changed if we would just get out of our holes, stop being hidden heroes and step into the light. You're a hidden hero. You say, well, John, I'm in a hole. I don't see your hole. I see who you are. God looks and he doesn't see where you're at. He sees where you should be. He sees where you're going. When God looks at you and you say, well, I'm in a hole. God can't see me. All he's looking is saying, if you would just recognize that I'm here. This identity, this location of hole that you're at is not what I have for you. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. To give you a hope and a future
and whole is a whole place. There's a scripture in Revelation, and I hope I can find this.
I believe it's around Revelation chapter 3. I was not intending on bringing this out, but God just quickened this in my heart. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And anyone who hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and dine with him, and he with me. Now, for many years we took this as what? Salvation scripture, right?
Jesus stands at the door and knock. And to him who opens it, he's going to come in and he's going to share a meal with him.
Well, this scripture really just doesn't set so much up with salvation, because you at salvation is coming to him. You got to recognize that.
When you get saved, Jesus, yeah, he's been there the whole time. He didn't come to you. You came to him. We say, oh, Jesus came to my rescue. Yes, he did, at the cross. But you getting saved, the whole entire time Jesus was saying, while you were cussing, while you were cursing his name, while you was living in sin and you didn't want nothing to do with God, he's sitting here like this. He said, if you just see me, I died for you right back there. You see that right there? That scar? Yeah, that was for you. You see that right there? The scar right there? I hold my body? Yeah, that was for you. I was thinking of the cross. It's salvation. The Bible says, unless the Spirit draws a man, he cannot be redeemed. So what do we see by that? This scripture right here, him knocking and you letting him in, isn't salvation. It's something different. Because at salvation, the Spirit draws. What's that mean? You're coming, right? You're coming to him.
Oh, it's a little bit different, isn't it? A teacher at Lee showed this to me the other day. Dr. Doffy did. It blew my mind. Okay. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And him who lets me in, anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and dine with him and he with me. What is this saying? Hey, person, he's with you. He's knocking. Can you hear his voice tonight? Is there a draw in your heart? Are you in a hole?
He's saying, would you just let me in? I'm right behind you. And if you would respond to his voice, get out of your hole, you would find Jesus. And what does it say? He will share a meal with him. It's not booming out of your hole. Peace, I'm out. You know what happens in a meal? You spend time with someone. You fellowship with them. You love on them. You get to know them. Your friendship is further. Jesus is saying, hey, person, you might be in a hole right now, but I'm knocking. And if you would just open up that door and let me in, I'm going to come be with you. And you're going to have an identity. And no longer will you be a hidden hero. You'll be God's hero. Tonight, there's something on you. He's with you, Christian. He's with you, non-believer. I don't care if you believe in Jesus, you don't believe in Jesus, you did believe in Jesus. Regardless of your location, God's saying, I know the plans I have for you. Regardless if you have accepted the grace of God tonight, it doesn't matter. He's still got plans. You might be sitting in a hole hidden. There's still plans. You might be sitting worried. There's still plans. And here we go on down. What are we saying in verse 12?
I just want to remind you this, and see, we're almost done. That went quick, didn't it? I don't know. I was probably preaching for 30 minutes. 28. I don't know.
He's with you. So what do we have in the middle of all this? We have a person who's in a hole. We recognize that Jesus is right with you. There's a story that I love. I get emotional when I think about it. It says, and there was a man walking on the beach with God. And he looked behind him as he walked with God, and he saw two sets of footprints. And they conversed. They spent time with each other. And all of a sudden, things started going bad in his life. And he looks back, and he pulls a Gideon. God, where were you at? He saw one set of footprints behind him. So if you're walking, what are you assuming? God, you left me. You're not with me anymore. And he goes on and he rants at God. And the story ends by this. God speaks back and he says, in the time when you saw one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. Hey, person, right now where you're at, you might think that God's 1,000 miles away. But he's saying, just look behind you and you'll find that you're in my arms. He's with you. He wants you. He knows the plans he has for you. He knows that you've got something on you that Satan's trying to destroy right now. Hey, person, if you're in a hole because the enemy came in and plundered your camp, oh, we missed that, didn't we? The enemy is the reason why he was in the hole.
So you're in a hole right now. You've been trying to be destroyed by Satan. He wants you to die. He wants to still kill and destroy your life. And you're sitting there. You're still alive. And God is saying, hey, I'm with you. And you're going to defeat the enemy by yourself. If you would just see me. Tonight, my question is, are you in a hole right now? Are you tired of your hole? You think God's not with you? He's saying, turn around, I'm not with you. If you just open up that door, I've been knocking the whole time. I've been screaming out, I'm with you. If you just let me in, I come and be with you. He is with you. One final scripture.
Get this thing almost drawn to a close. Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man.
How does the story close? I'll tell you how it closes. After the Alamo incident, we've got that right. God goes to Gideon.
He tells him he's going to win. That's right there. We've got that. So what happens is,
Gideon blows the trumpet, the shofar. It was a call to war. And it could be heard from a great distance. And people from all around began to come. Because finally an Israelite said, I'm not going to live in a hole anymore. God's got something for us. And it's not bondage. It's not defeat. It's not destruction. God's got something good.
People began showing up. Boom, 23,000 showed up.
A lot of people, right? Man, they're going to win. Well, the Midianites have over 100,000, I forgot to tell you that.
But all of a sudden, you would think, well, if we got God on our side, we're going to win this, right?
Doesn't work. He ends up, and God tells him, I want you to tell everyone who's afraid, just go on home. Boom, half the people disappear. Then he tells them to go down to the water, and those who stick their face in it,
I want you to send them home. But those who take the water into their hand and look, I want you to keep
all but 300 shoved their faces in the water like little dogs. So 23,000 to 300. And we're going to win. That's funny, isn't it? We're going to pull 300. That's a one catch. Roscoe, go for gold. Golden Star.
300 against 100,000. It doesn't look like they can win.
But God, in the middle of the night, they begin to take these fire pots and create an illusion. And all of a sudden, God began to stir up discord in their camp. They begin to fight upon each other. And as Gideon and his people went into attack, everything was already destroyed. What is it saying to us right now? When you recognize that God is with you, you step out of your hole, the very things that once put you in a hole, you see He's with you and you walk with Him, fall face down on the ground dead. When you recognize He's with you and you stand in that truth, Satan's greatest army can't do anything but pull retreat. Because when he looks at you now, Satan, guess who he sees right behind you? The Son of God. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Three Hebrew children in the fire. They were in there because they wouldn't bow to the enemy.
King Nebuchadnezzar.
They heat the fire up 7 times hotter. People die heating up this fire. So, if there's a fire that's so hot, it's melting metal and consuming people that are far distances away in fire. In this furnace. If I throw someone in that fire, they're going to incinerate it, right? But they knew that their God was with them. And they said, even if we die in that fiery furnace, I'm not going to bow to you, King. They go in there, and all of a sudden, they look out from outside, and they say, wait a minute, didn't we throw three in? There's a fourth man in the fire, and he looks like the Son of God. Son of Man. And all of a sudden, there was three people that got put in a fire. They were in a whole situation. And in the middle of that, they say, oh, they're done dead now. He went to battle our king. And someone's walking in the fire. There's a song I love. It says there's a fourth man standing there in your fire. Tonight, you might be in a hole. You know who that person was? It's called a theophany. It's an appearance and a vision of God before Jesus Christ was revealed. And it was Jesus standing in that fire. And tonight, you might be in a whole situation. What am I trying to tell you again and again and again? He's with you. There's a man standing in your fire. There's someone standing right outside your hole. He's with you. And if you would just recognize that you're a hidden hero, a hero of God, he says, you are a mighty warrior, Gideon. God's looking at you and says, hey, you're not just supposed to be out of hope. You're a warrior. We're raising up an army, right? As the song said. You're a mighty warrior. That's your identity, person. You're not a nobody. You're not a someone. No, you are a mighty warrior of the Lord. You are a heroic hero. You are someone who Satan wanted you to get stuck in a hole so deep you would never find your way out. Because he knew if you got out that hole, you were going to do mighty things for the Lord. You were going to see victory. You were going to see people's lives brought into the kingdom. How's the story? Victory. So what do we have? We might be hidden heroes. You might be stuck in a hole. But he is with you. He's been the whole time. And tonight, I challenge you just to look around. And when you begin to recognize that he was there, you'll begin to see, wait a minute. Wait a minute. When I was in that hospital, and I felt like all hope was lost, I suddenly had strength to deal with that. That wasn't because you were something special. Because he was there. Recognize that he's with us. How does the story end for Gideon? How does it end? Might be a whole person. You might think there's no hope inside. You might be seeing God. You're crazy. But God is saying, I'm with you. It's time to get out of your hole. You face the very things that put you in that hole. And if you do, you're going to see defeat. For you will surely see victory as one man. You plus Jesus. Equals victory. Grant, go ahead and come on up. Play as we begin to pray tonight.
In this place, I know there's many holes.
I think if we were to hold this baby up tonight as a corporate deal, I think we might look like a bunch of Swiss cheese. And Satan doesn't want this message to be spoken. He doesn't want you to know that he's with you. He doesn't want you to know that there's hope. He doesn't want you to think that there's victory. He doesn't want you to think that it's not over. But tonight, mighty warrior. Song, that's rise, isn't it? The song is about to sing, it says, so rise. And tonight, if I can tell you anything, he's with you. So rise. Hear me right now. Don't you walk out of here still in a hole. Don't you walk out of here still defeated. It's time you rise up, mighty warrior. You're not going to be a hidden hero anymore. It's time you get to the front lines and see the victory that God made you to have. I don't know what your chains look like. I don't know what's got you bound up, beat up, in a hole. I don't know what it is. But I'm here to tell you tonight that God is more than enough to take out anything that would ever separate you from him. Hear the word of God. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not harm. I'm going to give you a hope and a future. Matthew 28:20, along with you always, even unto the end of the age. Judges 6:12. I'm with you, mighty warrior. Hear him echoing out. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of this dark age. I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Hear these words that echo out.